Night of the Living Geek.
Hello and welcome to this week's LSG Cast. I'm your host, Nick. With me today is Taylor Hoyt.
Good to be with you guys today.
Good to be here too. Yeah, right? And with me today as well is Jake.
Hi.
I tried to make him laugh and I worked.
He did work.
It did work.
No, he worked. He said I worked.
He worked.
You worked. I worked for it.
You worked. And you succeeded.
You worked to get the jiggles out.
I got to get the jiggles out.
All the jiggles are out.
Get the jigglies.
I got the jiggles out.
They're out and about.
Out and about. How are you guys doing this week? It's been a weird week. It was really hot, and now it's really cold.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I know. I'm ready for weather. Like, our, at least in our circle of friends, like, cold, muggy, rainy weather is perfect gaming weather. So
yes,
I want it to start
it is.
Soon.
Yes, it is. It's great. Because then when people see us inside and playing games and all that, you know, we don't get the, why aren't you outside? You know, we get the...
Because
nothing,
I don't want to get
nothing.
Wet.
Yeah, we get the nothing because they don't talk to us.
I also want to, it's like, hey, why are you just playing video games all your life? It's because it's my job now. I can't forget that.
I guess,
one of these
yeah.
days.
It's like, I am earning money right now. Screw off.
Wow, that's hostile.
Take that,
I think,
Dad.
I think video games have made you violent.
They have.
There's clearly a direct correlation.
There is more
Doom for you. No more ripping off demons' faces.
Yep.
You know what was really cool, actually? Going to go off on a tangent here.
What?
The Doom soundtrack came out recently.
Oh, yeah?
And we listened to it in the warehouse at work.
Oh, seriously?
And it was extremely brutal. And both like James and I were like,
nice.
Let's pack this shit up. I drooled. But yeah, it was intense.
Nice.
Did you not hear that?
No,
I didn't.
It was
like really loud, like metal, brutal music.
You guys were playing pretty loud music, though, recently. And so I kept hearing little bits, and I would come out to check, and then there was nothing. So I don't know.
I don't know.
I kept thinking I was hearing the Oblivion soundtrack, weirdly enough.
Well, there is a lot of...
Oh, is that it?
Maybe that was it then.
Maybe that's what I was hearing. Huh.
But yeah, it was... Then I bought it because I totally forgot. Because my brother actually messaged me and he was like, man, the Doom soundtrack's brutal. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's out now, isn't it? I gotta get it.
Apparently it sold pretty well. I saw a tweet from the developers. I'm like, yeah, it's like the number one soundtrack in like top five albums or whatever.
It is really good.
That's
music.
Cool.
It's
nice.
Super. It's.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's very brutal. It's, if you want to play some For Honor, just have that going, you're going to be pumped.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh yeah.
Let's kill some guys.
God, For Honor. Guys, have I talked about For Honor yet?
I don't think so.
No? Because, like, man, right, I could really go for like a good half hour about For Honor, I'm telling you.
For the sake of honor, we're not going to do that.
Oh.
But
that doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. I don't care.
Taylor, why'd you give him an O for that?
Because it was
matter.
A decent transition, yeah. Okay,
doesn't matter.
Was it?
Doesn't matter if it doesn't make
was
sense.
It?
I'm beautiful, so...
That's right.
All right, what are we talking about?
Docket. Let's talk with some LHG news. LHG news.
What are you saying?
We're gonna talk with the news, Jake.
We're not gonna talk with the news. No,
we're talking
about the channel. Oh, okay. Channel. Yeah. Go for it. What's up?
Another really big update. We're still working on the new stuff, so be sure to check that stuff.
What new stuff do we have coming out?
I'm working on the big project called Ultimate Game Challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a game show where we play games, do trivia, do weird stuff like live action Bust a Groove or something like that.
Oh boy, that'll be embarrassing.
It's gonna be, yeah. Exactly.
Be sure to tune in.
And it's going to be so fun. I can't wait to
yeah,
have
about,
it completed.
6 years, we'll have that ready for you?
No.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm planning end of this month, so.
Whoa.
Wow.
Who is this guy?
Is that a firm release date?
That's a firm release.
Is that a street
that's
date?
A firm, that's a firm film date.
And a date, who knows?
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah. I'm going to create a prototype to show you guys. So.
Okay, awesome.
It's going to be great. And, yeah, I'm going to have some talks with Taylor about our channels and news and stuff like that. So, hopefully something comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor's all worried now.
Like, oh, God, what's happening?
But other than that, thank you for listening to our two podcasts. Both are growing, which... makes me happy. It makes my heart grow three sizes.
And then we're going to have to check him into the hospital for an enlarged heart.
Yep, so, that's pretty much it. So make sure, stop watching, guys. Really, stop watching these podcasts. You're just killing Nick.
No. All right, so let's move to our first topic. The Dragon Quest Builders demo came out,
mm-hmm.
and you guys played it.
Yeah.
And both of you have totally different expectations of it, so let's
or
have
do
you.
We?
Well, one knows what Dragon Quest is. The other one hasn't really.
That's true. I've played a Dragon Quest game before. It was
Heroes?
No. No. You can keep guessing if you want though.
Joker? Nine?
If you're just impatient. No, okay, not nine.
Fine.
No, it was I actually can't remember the name of it, but it's the Dragon Quest
Monsters Joker
Slime Wars or whatever it was. It was a great one. It was on, I think,
DS.
It was on DS. Yeah, you know what it was.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so you're running around as a little slime and you're loading, you know, you're in your ship, right? And you're battling another ship. And you're running around in your ship, and you get ammo, and you put it up in the cannon, which is, you know, shooting over to the other ship, and you can shoot yourself over, and you can, you know, fight, and it's fun.
Cool.
I played that one a lot. I played like at least an hour or two into that game.
Nice. Cool. So. Cool. Because that's nothing what Dragon Quest is like. Anyway.
No, I know it was one of the spin-off ones, but. I don't know. I mean, I've always enjoyed the aesthetic of it, obviously, with the Dragon Ball animator and the aesthetic and everything. Mm-hmm. Not animator, but artist.
Style.
Toriyama.
Love that style.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get why people don't like that style.
I love
it. No, I really like it. And that's the thing is, I've always wanted to play a Dragon Quest game, but I've just never really gotten into it, so.
It's hard to get into, let's just say that.
Well, anyway, but Dragon Quest Builders looked pretty cool, so I checked it out, and I was actually really surprised. I haven't beaten the demo yet. It's a pretty short one. I just haven't had that much time. And I'm actually, yeah, I'm really, really impressed by the writing, weirdly enough. It's just mm-hmm. written super well. Like, it's not like everything's really verbose or, you know, like exceptionally witty. It's downplayed a lot, but like you can tell the writer is really, really, you know, fluent in the language and just
put some time into it.
Yeah, and it's clever.
Those games are always pretty charming because they always have like a British twist to them when they actually voice the characters or some type of UK European accent twist.
Okay.
So yeah, and sometimes they get punny, but not in Heroes. It was like every other word from that stupid slime guy was a pun
about slime and gooey and let's goo it.
Oh my god, it just gives me
Was Heroes
nightmares.
Good though?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That was the Dynasty.
The Musou game.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not really into Musou games, so.
Yeah, me either.
It was interesting though.
Okay, cool.
Except the slime just wouldn't shut up.
I just remember though, like seeing some of the gameplay, it wasn't super fast paced.
Like, it wasn't
like
as fast paced.
It was
yeah.
like it was more like an RPG kind of thing.
It was yeah.
That's
and
cool.
Some tower defense elements because what you would do is as you would beat monsters, they would drop coins, and if you have a coin, you can basically summon that monster to be on your team.
Oh.
So, like, if there's a portal that's really getting overrun, you would drop a big monster so they could stop them, and then you'd handle the other one or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, a lot more strategy for sure.
Okay.
But
so
Builders.
It's reel it into Builders.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, so Builders was nice. Again, the writing was really nice. The gameplay, it seems to make sense. The freaking pressing circle, because I was playing on PlayStation, so pressing circle to jump just messed me
up. Yeah,
that
was weird.
Constantly.
For sure.
I kept walking up to workbenches and pressing circle to use it, and I would just jump. And then I remember, oh, it's X. And then I'd keep like going up to you know, ledges to jump over, and I press X, and it opens up the build menu, and I'm like, ah. Oh. So that was the only thing that was a little annoying, and the control customization wasn't very
triangle to attack as well was kind of strange.
It was a little weird, yeah. Like the whole thing feels very foreign. Not foreign as in actually from a different country. Just foreign, just different. You know, like very mm-hmm. very.
I wonder if they changed
odd.
It because in Japan, circle is accept. So
yeah.
You know, X is usually accept here, mm-hmm. but in Japan it's circle.
That's interesting.
You see that a lot in old JRPGs.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I like it so far. I really liked it. It's kind of like it's Minecraft, but it's got like the Terraria twist where you it formalizes houses and dwellings and things like that. So like it tells you, you know, walls, a door, and a torch inside. That's a house, you know, and then you can add to it and actually like gets more points, you know, depending on how much is in it. So mm-hmm. like that's pretty cool. And you can kind of build these little villages and attract people. But I don't know, Taylor, what do you think? You played more of the demo than I did.
Yeah, I beat it. It's like about an hour and a half long or so. It has me really excited for what the final game will become, because mm-hmm. what you do in that game is like you were saying. So you build these houses. As you go further along in the demo, you get recipes to build new like aesthetic stuff, like pots and different types of bedding and things like that. And as you add these to your rooms, your point value goes up. And once your village levels up, then I think more people can come into the village, if I understand right. And it just seems super cool because it hints at more decorative items, and because basically you're building houses of dirt at this point.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing so far.
Yeah, that's you don't get anything further than that. You can't mine stone yet. You need the hammer, which is not available in the demo. Yeah, that's sadly.
Well, there's a club that you can.
There's
build.
A club. Yeah, you can.
But that's purely for attack. That doesn't.
You can mine with it, but you can't get stone with it. It'll just like bounce off or whatever. But that's what has me excited, because like I was looking at the trailer and like the possibilities of like how elaborate your dwellings can be, and like the different types of walls and floor plans and like armor. Like you're wearing rags. You have like rags and like a club, and
ragged
eventually
rags.
Yeah. And like eventually you can get like a sword and shield and like good armor. I'm like, man, there's like a lot of progression in the game, and like I like the games where you have that nice feeling of like you have garbage to start with, and then as the game goes along, everything's nicer. And it reminds me of RPG Maker in a way too, because you're building these towns much like RPG Maker, and like, you know, there's at the very end there's like quests you have to do, and then you have to defend your town against like a monster invasion. So I'm sure that will get progressively harder. The only one they have in that game is pretty easy. But
so I just read, since we didn't know mm-hmm. if it had multiplayer or not, mm-hmm. does not have multiplayer. Mm-hmm. It is single player only.
That's too bad. I mean, it's
people are saying it's a Dragon Quest RPG, but with a builder aspect to it. So that's what they were going for. And then I read somewhere that the developers are considering adding multiplayer to Builders 2.
Oh, they've already said there's going to be a Builders 2?
If they make it.
Okay. Builders 2 is Builders out in Japan? Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
I see. Okay.
Like Dragon Quest Heroes 2 was like almost
right.
already
yeah.
over there.
Mm-hmm. They announced that like 2 months after the first one came out. I'm like, wow, that was really fast.
Yeah.
After the first one came out here
in
or
Japan.
In Japan? Oh,
yeah.
Really? So it was like, fast even for Japan.
Yeah, it was weird. Okay. I don't know why they announced it so quickly, but whatever. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that demo. It got me really excited for the full game, which comes out a week from Tuesday or a week from when?
Really? That soon? Okay.
October 11th. Yeah. So.
Oh, October 11th. I don't know. That's 2 days before VR.
Well,
I don't know about that.
Me and Nick aren't getting VR.
No.
I'm not getting VR. So, my first big game in the fall.
You're going to be our gateway into VR.
Well, just remember. Okay, so guys, just, you know, especially, and this goes for everyone at home too. If you're not getting a VR, that's fine. Make sure you have enough money to buy one so that as soon as you try one, you will be able to buy it because you will want to. So that's my tip to you. So like you guys, you're not getting a VR. That's fine. Nick, Taylor, it's totally cool. You'll come over, mm-hmm. you'll play it, and then you'll buy a VR. So it'll be great.
I'll play it and I'll get sick and you'll have to clean up my barf.
No, oh, great. Great.
So what we got to do is we got to play some Resident Evil 7 demo with you.
And
we'll also
forever.
Play Outlast VR as well. So
are both of those upgrading to VR?
I don't know.
Seven for sure is right out of the gate.
I think Outlast 2 might have VR. I don't know about the first one.
That would just be the worst. Outlast is already pretty terrifying. Adding VR to that would just be the worst.
It would be the greatest because it adds the outdoor element to the scares. So you're just in the game and suddenly someone goes, "Aboo!" And then you die from a heart attack. So,
someone
scares you.
Someone like a friend sitting next
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's just awful. I'm serious. So, you know how there's like this whole, there are some things in society you just don't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
and it's like, because even jokes, it's just like, that's too far. I honestly think scaring people in VR, like that's just, no, I'm going to be honest. It's kind of messed up.
Oh, it will.
Though.
Yeah,
it's
no, totally.
Messed up, like, because it's, I know it sounds weird and it's kind of a funny thing and it's weird that I'm getting serious about it, but it really is something where it's, if you get scared in VR, even if you know then that you're playing alone, I mean, you have kind of, it's kind of sensory deprivation because
yeah.
you know, you don't see, you can't hear because you've got the headphones if you're having a good experience. Mm-hmm. Frankly, you're going to have headphones if you're...
It comes with it, I think. It comes with one.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't come with a gold headset.
It doesn't come with a gold headset, but it comes with a stereo headset.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get the Platinum headset with the PlayStation Platinum so that it, and then plug it in, I get the surround sound.
Jake's gonna just disappear. We're gonna go to his house. He's gonna be like, in his underwear, like drooling with the headset on. He's like,
ugh. Real life Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just comes home from work. Real life sucks. Puts the helmet on. Goodbye, real life.
But yeah. Seriously, like it's really cool. But I mean, imagine if you get scared in that, it kind of like breaks your trust of it almost. Even if you're playing alone, it's you're never going to be able to be comfortable if you get scared once. I seriously think it's going to break things.
Yeah. Do you remember those VR, those quote unquote VR arcade machines that they had where you like bring the thing down?
Yeah, the old ones. You could play like Battlezone.
I was playing like Heavy Gear on that. Mm-hmm. And I remember people used to poke, when I was playing, people would poke my, like touch my shoulder and I would turn around. And I'm like, stop it. In the game, I would turn around.
Yep.
And it was annoying. So, but that was an arcade, a public setting. So, yeah. Unless you have really dick friends, I don't think.
And
it's
that's kind
happen.
Of the thing is, honestly, if people are playing at my house, like I want to actually issue a disclaimer. Like,
You're gonna have a poster on your wall saying, "Touch me and you're out."
Yeah, pretty much. No. But seriously, I do want to issue kind of like a disclaimer also to the people playing. You know, telling them, look, no matter what, I'm not gonna mess with you while you have I don't want people to be uncomfortable while they're playing it, because that's just I can imagine that's the biggest thing that's going to ruin your experience, you know. So, anyway, so what else?
We just went from
Dragon Quest
Builders. So, Jake, I don't think we got. Would you want to play this game? Like, buy it? Are you interested?
Is it full price? Is it 60?
Yeah, it's 60.
Is it 60?
Yeah.
I would if it was coming out another time. I'm probably going to wait for a sale because it's fun and I would like to play it, honestly. I've got nothing against the game, but the VR is a huge investment for me, and that's really tying up my money.
And then Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
When
end
is
of
that
October.
Out? And I don't know, Nick. I don't know.
Well, we know Nick's getting that game.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have to see.
I'm not going to play with Jake. I mean, he sucks at it, right?
That's, uh-huh. 1v1 me noob. No, but it would be cool to see.
Now.
I'd like to see what the co-op is going to bring. You know, like because they said there's going to be some new modes or things like that. If it's just going to be this like a reskinning of Dragon Ball Xenoverse 1, I don't know if I want to invest.
The battle system seems like it's getting an upgrade, so it seems more like the Tenkaichi series.
That's good.
So I was like, yes, I can actually fight people now.
Yeah, and especially in the later levels of the game, you kind of ended up having to find the not the cheesy tactics, but like you had to find the one combo that works really well.
I had the unending combo.
I remember that. Yeah, you did. It was awful.
And I would get you in it, but you know, since you're a human player, you would be able to get out of it.
Right.
But it was just like when you got into AI. It, you're like, oh god.
Well, eventually you ran out of key, didn't you?
No, I could just keep doing it forever.
Seriously?
Until I hit the top of the ceiling,
That's awful.
The ceiling of the world?
Once I hit the top of the level, it stops, pretty much.
Right, and so by then they're dead anyway. Like,
I don't know, they're just normal punches, so you don't really take that much damage. It's just irritating because you're just constantly getting hit, and then you finish off with a special, and then... Yeah. It was a cool combo to find.
Is like the core story worth playing? Because like, I'm... From a distance, I watched a lot of like reviews and people said it was really fun, the first one. Like, is it worth playing for just the story, or is it really like the crux of it, like in the multiplayer?
I'd say it's a bit of half and half.
Yeah. I think
you want to enjoy both, honestly.
But the thing that kind of bothered me in Xenoverse 1 was it was still tied with last gen, so signing into like the servers and everything took forever, and it was just everything felt slow. So I'm hoping with Xenoverse 2, it's a lot faster, a lot quicker.
Yeah, it's only next gen, right?
Yeah, it's only next gen.
Okay. That's good. Finally. It's one of those, like, get with it, you know?
I know.
But I guess they do have to sell copies, so.
But yeah, that's gone. Because the trend in Japan now is PS4 is outselling PS3 now, so that's good.
So that's good. They're getting around. They're frigging things out.
Again, finally.
Finally. But yeah, so speaking of PlayStation... PSX was announced.
Yeah.
For December 3rd and 4th.
Which, by
in
the way,
Anaheim.
Nick, okay, for everyone here, this turd, freaking, we're all waiting. We're all trying to figure out, like, okay, so you know, we know it's going to be announced soon, so that's awesome. And then he comes up and he's like, hey, the dates are announced. And it's like, oh, awesome. And he's like, December 3rd and 4th. And I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, in Anaheim. And I'm like, what? Wait, really? Like, he let me say yeah. He let me get excited before he then said it's in Anaheim. The jerk. I thought it was going to be San Francisco again.
So did I, but you already bought your tickets apparently, right?
Yeah, I did.
We were talking. We still have a text chat open. We were talking about doing a road trip. Mm-hmm. You and Sierra, we can say her name. She's been on the podcast before. Maybe potentially the five of us with Connor. It'd be fun to all drive down. If I know you're not, you wouldn't stay at.
Yeah, well, where we are, but figuring out where we would be. There's still a chance we would be at a hotel, especially depending on how far away it is. But I have some relatives that I could potentially stay with. So,
cool. And if it's hotel, like where I'm thinking, where we get the hotel, go to Anaheim. Convention center, and then afterwards we go to downtown Disney and hang out there, and then just hang out in the hotel, because that area is, there's things to do,
right,
24/7 pretty much.
Yeah,
but you know, it's going to be about $100+ a night.
The big thing is that,
but if you split it,
yeah, of course,
yeah.
The big thing is that if things go the way they seem to be going, my work situation at that point might be kind of a critical time, so like it might be something where taking any time off would be fairly detrimental potentially, so maybe I could get like a day, you know, to drive back afterwards, or a day to drive down or something,
or just leave right after the Sunday,
right? But that would be rough. Like that would be pretty rough to make the drive.
You'll be back home around,
make the drive Friday night, and then make the drive back up Sunday night, like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I was still trying to figure it out.
I was thinking of just doing a half day on Friday and then we'll just leave right then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I guess I could work a half day on both Friday and Monday.
We're talking about our personal plans on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Speaking of, let's go back to PSX. We are excited. We went last year and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I had a great time.
It was Street Fighter V was coming out, so I got to see all the people.
The tournaments, yeah, the pro fighters.
Yeah, I got to see the pro fighters. I was like a couple of inches away from them. I'm like, oh.
I got to meet Deej. We had a good conversation.
And Nick even beat a pro player in one round.
Did you?
Yeah, you beat this player, Ricky. I think they were playing
Ricky
easy
Ortiz
on you or something.
Of course. She was looking away from the screen and talking to her friend when she was playing me, and I beat her, and she's like, oh.
I actually have to pay attention.
And then, dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I played her before at Capcom, and she just wiped the floor with me. It was just funny. It's like, oh.
That's insane.
I was like, I get to play you again, and this is fun. But an honor at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, how cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope that there's some more cool Destiny stuff. Funny enough, they keep saying that the Sparrow Racing League will be making a comeback in December this year. So like
they're gonna show it again.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. It's kind of funny that it's coming back at the same time. So
okay, the new expansion finally came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they gonna finally tease Destiny 2?
Don't know. Maybe not there, but they're gonna be
not there, because Rise of Iron just came out.
Yeah, but they're gonna have to be doing it soon. Yeah. They're gonna have to be doing it soon, honestly, because it's supposed to be coming out next year. Right?
Yeah, supposedly.
And it's supposed to be a complete reboot as well.
Yeah,
well,
there was a lot of rumors.
There hasn't, nothing's confirmed still. I really don't think there's too much point in even
Let's do a little tangent right here, okay? What if it is a complete reboot? How would you feel, Jake? Because you've put a lot of hours into this game.
Yeah, and I want something. I definitely want something. And this is something I was reading. It seems like it's a pretty popular opinion. If it restarts, if it makes you... You know, if it's a whole new chapter and it's going to be like, you know, a new story, everyone's starting from scratch, that would be okay if there were some things that you could carry over. There has to be something in it.
It shows that you've played the other ones.
Yeah, like there has to be something from your previous adventure. So like some, you know, maybe, you know, a few favorite weapons that you select, which that would be crazy. Can you imagine if they just let you pick like three weapons
that you owned,
one of each slot or something like that?
That you find in like an underground bunker that's like desolate.
Yeah, and it's like the shrine to this past guardian. Maybe you're playing as a whole new guardian, and it's like you find a shrine to your old guardian, and it's like their favorite weapons. And can you imagine? Like, then people in Destiny 2, the only way they can have one of these weapons is if they've transferred it from Destiny 1, and that would make things like incredibly rare, incredibly personal, personalized, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be one of the 0.1% of people in the game with this weapon, because you're one of the only ones that chose to bring that one. Like, that would just be insane, right? So, I don't know. I'm just...
Not in stats-wise. I think it has to be, you know, like, what's it called? Cosmetic wise, it has to be, because if it's a different stats, people will get mad.
Like, yeah, but that's kind of the point, is that it would be your, like, that it, to make something so personalized. That's the kind of thing, though, that frankly needs to be part of the future. You know, like right now, I think we're going to be looking back at, you know, times like these, saying, you know, with that kind of limited mentality in mind, where it's like, oh, well, we can't have just, you know, someone have literally a unique weapon. That would be impossible. But as games get bigger, that kind of stuff, letting someone have a unique weapon, that's the kind of thing that should be happening in the future, you know, especially as teams get bigger, so they can, you know, balancing can be more easily kept track of, mm-hmm. things like that. I mean, and, you know, the games are better. Everything's bigger and better. That's something that can definitely happen. So anyway, I'm just saying, if it's a restart, I would like some stuff.
Yeah. Something carryover.
Yeah. Or even if it's just emblems, or, well, not emblems would be a little underwhelming.
I heard a Rise of Iron story wise wasn't as strong as the Taken King.
It almost has nothing to do with anything. Yeah.
Because I heard that the team that did Taken King is now writing for Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that the story in Destiny 2 was like what Destiny 1 should have been.
To be honest, the cinematics in The Taken King were easily the best, right? But
yeah.
I mean, the story in the original one was still pretty decent. The problem is just it was so scattered.
Yeah.
They were setting a baseline for everything. You know, but they couldn't build on it.
Fulfilled. Well, it was like, remember when you beat Destiny, it's like, I can't tell you why I can't tell you this thing.
Well, that wasn't when you beat it. But the stranger's like, I don't have time to explain why I don't have time.
It's like, come on. Like,
but the thing is, that's what I'm saying, is that they're setting this up. That's year one. That's 10% of the story you're getting. In the first 10% of any game, you're not going to have any mysteries solved. You know, it's like the whole first year was set up. The second year is like, okay, we're going to delve into this story arc, you know? And then now the third year, okay, we're delving into another one.
Do you remember...
Though it doesn't seem like this one's quite as good.
Do you remember the first story in the first strike with the giant eye thing, right?
That's
I wanted to know why that giant eye thing was there. I just, you just didn't know. You're just like, okay, fight this thing. That's what I felt like.
No, they explain it right there. It's that they worship it.
Right.
That it's a servitor.
But it's not like I want deep, like, you know, actual story moments.
The thing maybe I missed something, or I'm not paying attention, or I haven't dug into the grimoire cards. We still know like almost nothing about the Traveler. Like, you don't go to it. It doesn't really like explain anything. Like, I hope in Destiny 2 you learn about the Traveler. You go to obviously some new planets and stuff like that. And then we were just talking about this with Xenoverse. They've got to ditch old gen, because I feel like that. Having Destiny
Rise of Iron isn't on old gen.
But I'm saying for Destiny 2, like, I mean, they still have the components like loading in your ship and like separating hubs and zones and stuff like that. Like, I think that's a product of it having to be on last gen as well. You know, so I'm hoping like in whatever Destiny 2 is, like the areas are more open, they're more detailed.
Well, that's for sure. Again, Rise of Iron, which is the up-to-date story, you can't, you know, you have to have Rise of Iron to get to the max light level and everything like that. I mean, that's only new gen. That's so
okay,
so
cool.
Last gen is put behind. There's no more Destiny stuff coming out for
that's
the
good.
Legacy consoles.
And the rumor is too that Destiny 2 is going to be on PC,
yep.
Which is cool.
Well, and that's because if it's going to be on Xbox, then it's also going to be on PC.
And
which is just horse crap.
Space battles.
Yeah, there's got to be. You need to be like, barrel roll.
The barrel roll.
Barrel roll.
God, that was the funniest level. Anyway, sorry. So that was from Star Fox Zero. Remember there was the one you get to play as Peppy, and every time you do a barrel roll, he yells, barrel roll.
I actually don't remember that because I never played Star Fox Zero because that game's garbage.
That was a secret.
That game's garbage, huh?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Oh, it's garbage?
Yeah, even though I've never played it, it's still garbage.
Yeah, that was funny when we found that. we found that secret.
That was the funniest, dude. That was the funniest.
We were just laughing so hard.
Oh man!
Barrel roll, barrel roll, barrel. He just keeps doing it over and over and over.
And every time you do a barrel roll, he says it. So of course we're spamming barrel rolls, and he's just yelling barrel roll over and over.
It was great.
Wonderful.
But let's go back with that. We had a little Destiny tangent because of all those rumors that just came out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go back to PSX.
Yeah.
What are you expecting? I know what I'm expecting. But I'm
what
are
we?
Your opinions.
What are we expecting? What do we want? Are two different things.
Okay, let's do what you're expecting first.
Well, we've been doing a lot of the talking, Nick. Go for it. What are you expecting? Yeah. It'll give us time to think
okay,
as well.
So what I'm expecting is Final Fantasy VII Remake, they're going to show that, definitely. It's going to be here. And I think they're going to show a release date. I have a release window, at least. Not a like a specific date. They're going to say like 2017.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Sony is trying to grow PSX as well. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're putting a lot into this. I mean, the first year, it wasn't huge. Second year, wasn't huge, but it was bigger. This year, probably going to be even bigger. They're wanting to make PlayStation Experience
a
destination, like a big place to go. You know, one of the ones to look out for in the year. So
they're making
two
now.
I'm not surprised if
There's one in Japan.
There's one in Japan now.
Oh well, So I mean, I'm not surprised if they're going to be like pushing publishers and developers to really like you know give more information at those conventions.
Yeah. So I'm hoping the one thing I really want. This would blow everyone's mind, and I know I'm not even that big of a
Suikoden 4.
A big FF7 fan. I'm still going FF7. They don't say anything, but the first thing you hear is just the, and you just see the light sky and it's doing the thing, and then does the entire intro, and then it just does the it ends with Cloud getting off the train,
and then it just
and
goes
then
into
it just
game
goes
play.
Into the gameplay.
Oh,
play.
Dude, that'd be
it's
amazing!
Instantly, then it's like, everyone would go insane.
Yeah, they would,
and then
absolutely.
Just go someone's actually playing the game, and it just they play
and
it.
You show like a few minute demo kind of thing.
Yeah, they grab the potion from the body. They fight those guys.
Don't you meet Barrett pretty early on?
After that screen you go, and then you do your whole thing, and then it shows the menus. You see how you customize everything.
Yep.
Ends.
That'd be perfect.
And everyone would go crazy.
And then the release date, you say, or the window at least?
Yeah, the release window. Okay, no. Actually, it shouldn't end that way. It should, he gets out of the menu. It goes into the cutscene where Cloud looks up at the Shinra reactor.
Yeah.
And he just walks by, and then it ends.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Just instant black. And then just like fade up to the release date.
It's the release window.
There we go.
Dude, that'd be insane.
That's what they gotta do. Like,
I've been saying for a while, I think that game is a lot closer than people think.
For the record, this is recorded on Sunday, October 2nd, 2016 at 1:38 p.m. So just in case anyone is like looking back on this going like, they predicted it, you know, moment for moment. Oh my god, they killed it. Like,
Swanton bomb.
As God is my witness, he is torn in half.
That'd be awesome. I would go crazy.
I know you would. You would go.
Do you
nuts.
Remember me from last year? Like in the crowd, I'm like, E3? Oh my god, gameplay? No, at PSX.
Oh yeah, because
we saw it live last
god,
year.
That was so great, guys. Yeah. PSX was really wonderful.
And then they had Ni No Kuni 2. I couldn't believe they had Ni No Kuni 2.
And that's another thing. They got to show Ni No Kuni 2. They know their audience.
That was a funny one though. You could just look behind you and see like on the teleprompters what was coming up.
I was like,
hey, Ni No Kuni 2's coming up.
I didn't see that. I was paying attention because he said, and level 5. I'm like, level 5.
Yeah, you weren't even looking. I just looked back. I'm like,
okay, Taylor's going to be excited.
Awesome. Yeah, Taylor's going to be happy.
Man, so good. What else did they have? Oh, they had that old guy telling us to play games. Man, I hope we see him again.
Yeah, that guy. Go on, play some games.
I'm kidding.
That was weird.
That
honestly,
was
like,
strange.
No. Besides Final Fantasy VII and Ni No Kuni, like, that conference was kind of not great. Like,
no,
what are you talking about?
What else was good? Tell me.
Dude, it stole the show. 100-foot robot golf. Come on now.
Please.
Taylor.
Please.
or the PSVR Tron thing.
Oh, that didn't work? Yeah, that was great.
No, I like the... What's it called? Res? I like the Res. Res was pretty cool.
Res.
Was all right.
When they showed... When it was like all like techno-y and all
the
lights.
Yeah, that's
and
one of the ones that I played.
Yeah, Res.
That was a lot of fun.
When they showed that was pretty interesting.
It was really... Actually, no. It was kind of boring, but it was fun.
They showed off
Neo. That's right.
Yeah, they showed up
Neo, guys. Oh, that one's going to be good.
Yeah.
That one's going to be really good.
So, I was... Okay, let me go back to my expectations.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Ni No Kuni 2. They're going to show another trailer, maybe some gameplay.
Some actual gameplay.
But it's going to be like a trailer. They're going to show Bloodborne 2.
Okay.
Really?
Interesting.
And they're going to show Armored Core.
I'm going to take that one and place it into your hopes instead of the expectations.
He said that they've announced that they are making a new Armored Core game and they're making another Bloodborne.
What?
Not so plainly, but they were like vague. Like they were saying like, well, one of our new games is going to be about robotics or something. And then another one says,
okay,
a new game is going to align with fan expectations, which is like, well, they're not going to do Dark Souls because they said they're done with Dark Souls, but they have only done one Bloodborne, so they could potentially do another Bloodborne.
Okay, Armored Core and Blood. Those are actually pretty decent guesses then.
Is this going to be show it? And then it's going to be like, puts on the VR headset, and now it's VR Armored Core. VR.
Oh, ooh. My God.
That would be the most dizzying.
That would be
thing.
Insane.
So if you had Armored Core VR, would that get you to buy VR?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll play Armored Core normally. I mean, it'd be cool to have, like, to try it
out. Would they do? Oh, man, see, they missed it. They really missed it. They shouldn't have made Armored Core 5, because then now they could do Armored Core VR. So now they could do, like, VIR for, like, 6R.
I think they're going to reboot it. I think it's just going to be called Armored Core, and they're going to bring back Ravens.
It is the age of reboots.
They should, because they've gone too crazy. The world's, like, now just a desert. The entire planet is a desert. That's all the landscapes were.
I'm telling you, Armored Core 4 Answer was the best.
It was a fun game,
yeah.
It
was phenomenal.
No, but I like
the original Armored Core PS1.
Yeah, the Armored Core, that was pretty good. I like the Raven thing. I like that you're a mercenary. But that's it. I don't think they might show the new DLC characters for Street Fighter 5, because, you know, Sony's pushing that.
Probably. Well, they're done, technically, right? Wasn't Yuri in the last one?
The last announced one. So they're going to announce the newer ones now.
Oh, okay.
I see.
And, yeah, that's pretty much all I'm expecting, is that those big things. I don't know. Maybe Naughty Dog's next game. Oh! They might show off the remasters of Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Those happening?
Yeah, they announced that at E3.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry. I always forget. I remember the only announcement from that I remember is Crash in Skylanders.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because
that should be out by then, right? So yeah. I'm pretty sure they're just going to talk about
Skylanders Imagineers.
I guess the new Skylanders is going to be out by then. Yeah.
So then they're going to just talk about the complete overworks of Crash. And it's hopefully going to be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Naughty Dog's new game. Whatever that's going to be.
Not the new game. I think they're going to show
The Last of Us.
I think they're going to show the single player DLC for Uncharted 4, because they haven't talked about that yet.
It's going to be Sully and the brother.
Doff doing, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I can't say it. It's going to be a spoiler.
Well, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, Taylor, any expectations?
Yeah, I definitely think Naughty Dog is going to show the single player DLC trailer for Uncharted 4. I think I just think it's too soon for Last of Us 2, or whatever they end up calling it. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to show more of Days Gone, that zombie game.
Yep.
With the freakers. They're not zombies, they're freakers.
Wait, is that really it?
That's what they call them. Huh. They call them freakers.
I think that's like their nickname, you know, biters. And
right. Walkers, things like that. Freakers. Okay.
I think it was funny. Me and Nick were talking, like, it's weird that they haven't. I thought for sure at Tokyo Game Show this year they were going to show off Final Fantasy VII Remake and Ni No Kuni 2, and they didn't. So I'm like, okay, so that's got to be.
I know. You know why?
Why?
Final Fantasy 15 is not
out
yet.
That's another thing. By the time PSX comes around, Final Fantasy 15 will be out. So now they can start pumping up 7 Remake. At least that's the theory. It's a good theory, I think. Gosh, I don't really know. Maybe more of God of War. Like, I'm trying to think of.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, me too.
It might actually be, maybe this might be an E3 save, but they could potentially show whatever Sucker Punch is working on next.
But it's not Sucker Punch.
That was Insomniac.
I'm hoping they're making a bigger, more interactive Infamous.
I hope they do something else besides Infamous. They've been working on Infamous for a long time. It'd be cool. I mean, Infamous Second Son was great. I loved it, but I'm hoping they work on something new.
Play that again, man. That was a good game.
Yeah, that was fun. Lots of the powers. Did you play that, Jake?
No.
Infamous Second Son. It was cool.
I'm wondering if I'm always bad with predictions, but what about Watch Dogs 2? I mean, do you think they're going to show off more, or do you think
it's out? I think it would be out by then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right?
It's
coming out that soon?
It's in November 24th or something like that.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, or whatever.
I didn't know it was coming out that soon. Okay, yeah. Well, cool. Then never mind.
They're not going to talk about it anymore because it's going to completely bomb, but it's going to be like no more Watch Dogs at all.
They might show off more For Honor, honestly. There's still going to be plenty of time.
It better be there.
2 months or so.
Right? It better be there.
Here's a safe
bet. And you better talk to the guy.
Well, I mean, at that point, I'm just going to beat everyone, so.
No.
Well, I've gotten, honestly, I got really good at that over the weekend.
You know what? I mean, this would be, for us, it makes sense, but since it's already out, I wouldn't be surprised if they showed Persona 5. because it's not.
That's true.
It won't be out in the States yet.
They haven't shown off the English voice actors.
Yeah, they might.
They're probably going to show a trailer with the English voice actors.
That'd
this is going to be a very Japanese PSX, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe some.
Syria?
No. What's the other? The one that Huber went crazy for? Shenmue 3.
Oh, yeah. They haven't shown Shenmue 3.
Yeah, in like a year and a half. So, I don't know. Yeah, those. Yeah, I think Persona 5 is probably a lock. Because they announced, like, hey, it's coming to PS4 at the first PSX. I'm like, okay. And I didn't show a trailer. They showed, like, an image, and that was it. But I think for sure they get it, that people
what
care.
What Resident Evil 7? You're going to need more stuff for that, you think?
I'm pretty sure there's going to be demos there, because it's only 1 month after that's coming out.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure there's going to be demo, like VR demos.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think there might be, like, a story trailer they might show?
Yeah, I hope so.
I would
still
guess so.
They show actual characters.
Game. Yeah, gosh.
Yeah, because there's still, like, no actual information on like, what the game is going to be. So, I mean, if they show a story trailer, that would be a good...
I think
that's realistic too.
That would be a big win for the crowd if they like show like a familiar character, like you're like stumbling through like the forest and like Leon just pops out of nowhere. Hey, we're going this way.
No,
or something like that.
It's gonna be Ashley.
Actually, yeah, wouldn't that be cool if they go through a whole thing where it's like this whole first person deal, mm-hmm. No one knows what the game is, and it's really
Norman
freaky.
Reedus.
But like it's really freaky. And then right at the very end, you know, like Chris or Leon just kind of like, you know, you see them right at the end and they say like, you know, like stick close and then, you know, end of the demo.
That would be awesome.
Or of the trailer.
No Russian.
No Russian.
What?
God, that level.
You could probably assume that Call of Duty, something Call of Duty related is a...
It'd be nice if they, because when is Future Warfare coming out?
November.
Early November, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll
already be
out.
All the big games are coming out already.
They might show the Modern Warfare remaster.
It comes packaged with the new one,
right? But the only way. By the way, actually, this is a bit of news too. Did you guys hear about the Modern Warfare remaster? You're gonna need the Future Warfare disc in the console to play it.
Oh, interesting.
So you can't like just get the game, return it. You can't trade it in. It is one and the same as far as accessibility,
huh.
Which is really limiting because people need to buy the $80 version of the game.
Oh, yeah. You can't buy that game separate.
But,
you,
like,
I think they're...
Isn't that just... I mean, it's kind of stupid. Like, I mean, that what I'm saying is that I would guess that they're going to show off a standalone remaster of Modern Warfare. And
Modern Warfare
might be,
2.
Yeah, the Modern Warfare trilogy. Would be great.
Or
potentially
they show off the new Call of Duty and it's World
Future
War
Warfare.
II.
Oh.
You mean next year's Call of Duty?
Yeah, that happens only in May.
I
so.
Wonder wait, what's when's Battlefield 1 coming out?
Same thing, November.
God.
No, actually end of October.
There's
actually.
Really
that's the thing is I'm having trouble knowing what to even be excited for PSX.
For next, I mean
it's all new stuff, man.
Or games. Oh, maybe more Mass Effect potentially.
Oh yeah, Andromeda for sure. Because that's still next year, right?
Yeah, that's coming out. Maybe some Ghost Recon Wildlands.
I wonder if Nidhogg will make an appearance.
And no, they do love the indies.
Nidhogg 2 was announced, and it only had a 17-second trailer. It looks super weird. By the way, have you guys seen that? The 17-second trailer?
No.
It's this weird, like, all of the guys... So you remember what it looked like before? It was all
like
pixely. Right. Yeah. Now it's, like, 3D. It's like these... Like, you're playing as these... They almost look like naked little clay people. It's super weird, and you have like axes and bow and arrows and like a bunch
it's
of
be way more intense.
Yeah, and like there's like a lot more screaming. Like it's actually kind of violent, like a lot more so than the original, because the original was violent. There's lots of blood, but it's all pixel blood. It's nothing like you know
that
grotesque.
This one looks
almost like claymation-y. It's
oh, cool.
Super weird,
huh.
But I mean it still looks fast paced and fun. So I don't know, maybe they'll show that. I'd be excited.
Fun's all that matters.
So
Rogue Legacy 2. Please. Give it to me.
Actually, that would probably sell pretty well.
I wonder if they're going to have the huge indie section again like they did last year.
That was fun. I liked walking through that.
Yeah. What's when's Gravity Rush 2 coming out?
It comes out the day before. It comes out December 2nd.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to be able to get to play it till the week after.
I'm excited to play, though, man. I already got it pre-ordered and everything.
It's exciting.
I'm on the bus.
Nice.
On
I'm
the bus.
I turn one person onto the game.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Yeah, the second one looks bigger, badder, like the...
I'm trying not to watch too much about it, to be honest, because I just feel like...
Bigger, badder, builder.
One of the greatest things about Gravity Rush 1 for me was just not knowing anything about what it was going to throw at me. I had no clue about what was coming out. So this one, I've seen a bit of a trailer, but like... What?
No, keep going.
Are you
going
to talk about your whole blackout method?
No.
Oh. You're going to show off the Tilted Destiny remake finally coming.
Destiny HD remaster.
Tales of Death.
Oh, I thought you meant Destiny.
No.
HD remaster. No. I was like, yeah.
Like Tales of Destiny 1 and 2, the true sequel to Destiny, HD remake.
You can't just drop the Tales of, man. You're freaking me out. You got to say Tales of
he
Destiny.
He was just joking, but that wasn't what I was talking about.
All right, I'm just saying.
Because he always says that. Yeah.
You keep going to what you're saying. I was going to say something afterwards, and I was like, oh my gosh, this has got
to
be here.
No, I think I finished my point. It was just about not wanting to know too much about Gravity Rush 2.
Mm-hmm. That's really easy to do.
Yeah. Yes?
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale
2. Oh my god, that would be awesome! Dude, and they've got the market now. They've been like developing this crowd of fans that is there for the indie
games.
They can
finally put Crash on.
Yeah, now. I'm
put Crash, they can put Cloud, and they could put
HD Cloud.
HD Cloud, yeah.
That'd be really
it's in
cool.
Smash right here.
Wow, that would be really cool. And now's a good time for it. Seriously, and I mean it because like they have formed this whole indie crowd that just loves these small games, and
I don't think it should be small though. I think it should be big like a Smash.
No, no, but,
because they made it small.
But the crowd would be the indie game crowd, because the indie games are the ones with the local multiplayer. The indie games are the ones where it has people playing it with friends, showing it off, being more social. The AAA games, these ones are almost exclusively hardcore now.
Mm.
You know, like and this is not going to be their audience. It's going to be priced the same as a AAA, and it'll play just like a AAA because it'll be developed really, really well. But
better.
The crowd will be the small games crowd that buys it for $60.
They need a unified art style so everybody looks, you know, like in Smash. They all come from different games and art styles, but in Smash it's unified. That's what the original All-Stars was missing. Everybody looked so different and weird.
See, I liked that, though. I really enjoyed that. Because, like, you had...
It looked disjointed.
But it showed off that these were all different things. Because that's actually one thing I... So, coming from a Super Smash player's point of view, who, like, then would occasionally play PlayStation All-Stars, Smash was a unified... Like, Nintendo just kind of feels like one big universe. It just feels like Nintendo, it's like Mario and Samus... It's weird thinking that they're not from the same universe now, honestly. Because they just, it's like, it's just the Nintendo games. And they all fit together. Whereas with PlayStation, the thing I like about it is that it is, like, they're significantly different games. You know, like Parappa, Snake, you know, things like that. I mean, like, they're not meant to be the same games. And so I loved the clashing art styles. Because it was just like, it felt like... You know, it never lost the theme of different games coming together to play together.
Mm-hmm. What I think Taylor wants though is he wants like a, because the menus and everything just felt
God,
so generic.
They're so bland.
It needs to have a unified theme to them, not just generic. And if that happens, then I think the clashing art styles would fit a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like you're saying that PlayStation All-Stars itself needs to have a theme?
Yeah.
I see. And that's definitely good. Because Super Smash has like its logo. It has kind of this you know, fiery, you know, battle royale, like kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah, and so I could see, PlayStation...
I mean, they had something. Like, the final boss was the really old PlayStation mascot. What's it, Polygon Man or whatever?
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. And I was like, that's perfect.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything. Like, it felt like it was rushed. And if they just cook it more, add characters, get rid of... Just make Cole one character. And
Cole?
Cole, because they had like
from
evil
Infamous.
Cole and good Cole. It was weird.
Yeah, that's dumb. Just make him a stance switcher.
Exactly. And just add more characters. Add actual Sony characters instead of the third parties.
Well, they had both, I think, would be good.
I know, but it was a lot of third parties. And like, didn't make sense. Like, they added Zeus, and it's like, why?
From what?
Zeus from God of War.
What?
It's like, why would you add Zeus and not Dart, which was next?
Yeah. Yeah, they added
so
like.
So mad.
The guy from Dead Space, and they had
that was pretty cool though.
I know you like Dead Space, but it was like a third party, right? And then they had Big Daddy.
I remember that. Yeah, they had Big Daddy in there, but that would be cool. Like, that's what I'm saying. These are still good ideas. I don't think we should take these things out.
Yeah,
maybe Zeus.
Zeus. They need to put Snake in there. Maybe old
Absolutely.
Snake. Old Snake.
They had Raiden in there.
They did have Raiden, but that's because Revengeance was coming out.
Yeah,
but they need to put Snake. Like
was that
old
around
Snake.
That same time, really?
Yeah,
holy
that was a while
crap.
Ago.
That was a long time ago.
Wow, really?
And then they had
feel like Revengeance wasn't that long ago.
It's and like then, 4 or 5 years
and
ago.
And they had the original DMC Dante.
Yeah, not the old school. Yeah.
Which could just be, you know, a skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely need to start adding skins. I mean, it would be awesome because they could show the world like, look, guys, Smash is fun, but this is what Smash should be. This is a modern day fighter. You know, it's not some kind of campy arcade thing that lives in people's hearts. This is modern day. Like, let's show off what current day consoles can do. Like, let's have skins for characters. Yes, let's have dynamic stages. Let's have tons of crazy characters. Let's like make this impressive because modern day games are impressive. So let's show that
off.
Make
it less floaty. I think that was really floaty.
Yeah.
Make it less floaty and make it so you're able to there's different combos to combo into supers. If you know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I like the super system. They just need the, like...
Yeah, it's definitely a cool way to do it.
They needed to make it more, I don't know, skill-based, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I actually am really impressed that they were able to come up with a way to kill characters that's not out of the screen. Because, like, that's the biggest thing, that if they did that, it would just be a Super Smash reskin.
I mean,
but they do this different
You should
enough.
Be able to do that, too, as well, though. I mean, they did it in some levels where they got killed by, environments.
If you fall off, I guess, maybe. Or, environments. I don't know. I'm glad that you can kill characters without just throwing them away,
yeah.
You know, because obviously that's the only way to kill people in Super Smash. So,
like, my favorite character was
Daniel Fortescue.
Yep, him
from Medieval.
And yep. I always had that combo. You know the combo? hits him in there, shoots him with the arrow, and yeah. Super. And yep. I was like, a combo with a super, and I was like, that was the best thing ever.
Who was I playing? I played as someone pretty successfully near the end. There, it was someone with a rocket launcher.
Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank, probably.
No.
No. I know what he's talking. The Killzone guy.
Oh, Captain Raddick or Lieutenant Raddick or whatever his name
was. Was that the guy I played as?
I think so. He had a rocket launcher.
Hmm. It might be him then, yeah.
I liked using Sir Daniel, and then I liked using the Ape Escape guy.
Okay. Yeah, I was always Sly Cooper and Cat from Gravity Rush.
Yeah, yeah, Sly Cooper, once you
figured...
Was
she in there?
She was a DLC character down the road.
See,
that's
what I'm saying. Like, this kind of stuff is so cool. I want, now that I'm like more of a PlayStation gamer, it's just, this stuff is great.
The game was fun. It was really fun. Yeah.
Me and Nick played a lot of that game. Yeah. We played a lot of it.
If you want to go and play it again, just hit me up. It's a really fun game.
Well, I like what Jake was saying too, like making it modern and look really good. I think it was limited in a little bit because they had to put it on Vita. Mm-hmm. As well as PS3, so now that it's on PS4, they can just really go
make
all
it
out.
Exclusive to PS4, yeah. That's the only console. Like, that would be incredible. Yeah. That would be really incredible. So, I'm hoping.
When Shuhei Yoshida said he's interested in the series still, he would be willing to do it.
I don't know who they would get to make it. That was the problem because I don't think Superbot exists anymore.
No, they don't. They could do Santa Monica. I mean,
sure.
That, yeah, I mean they make everything, and they make is usually quality. So,
yeah.
And it's a small game. Like, they need to do... I forgot to add this. They need to add PlayStation history like Smash does. That's one thing that was missing in...
PlayStation history?
Like, they show, like, where this character's from.
Oh, like,
what games are in, and like, trophies from, like...
It's the little details, like Nick was saying. The game needs to cook longer because, yeah, it was rushed. There wasn't a lot of extra modes. It was just, like, single player. You fight five guys. You fight Mr. Polygon. You're done or whatever. But, yeah, it'd be cool to, like... When you beat the... story mode, quote unquote, with a character, you unlock all, like Nick was saying, like some history and stuff like that. And I honestly almost feel like it's a great merchandising opportunity for Sony. It's like, oh, you liked playing as Drake, buy Uncharted 4, and it like sends you to the PlayStation store or whatever. Like,
totally. That would be
anyway,
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We're tweeting this episode to Shuhei Yoshida and Alex.
Do
it. No, he's not even part of Sony anymore. He's now part of
Alex?
Not Alex, Adam. Adam Boys.
Yeah. Boys. Yeah.
Yeah, he now works at, what's it called?
Iron Galaxy,
working on 7 Days to Die.
And Killer Instinct.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, they make that game?
Yeah.
No.
Well, they're making the port.
They're making the port.
Oh,
for PlayStation,
okay.
So.
I was going to say, I'm like, they don't make that game. Cool. Well, I think PSX is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be huge.
Like obviously the press conference day one is going to be the best part, and then playing games and getting to talk to people. I'm excited. I think since we have done a couple podcasts with some of Ben Moore from Easy Allies, it'll be cool to like hang out with those guys in person if they go. I'm sure they will.
They live there.
They were there last year. Yeah,
not Ben.
Oh, Ben wasn't okay.
And not Kyle.
Okay. But I talked to Brandon last year. And yeah, that was cool. Anyway.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. I'm excited.
So
we'll get to, you know, show off our podcast. Like, wait, we get
it might not be a bad idea to bring cards this time, because I know we talked about it last time, but it'd be cool to like, hey, we've got some cool podcasts.
And we'll be able to get, like, you know, sweatshirts and t-shirts done.
Or will we?
Sure. Probably not.
No, yeah, we operate.
I think I'm going to talk to, what's his face, to get it done.
Our sweatshirt guy?
Yeah.
It's our shirt guy?
Our shirt guy.
Good.
We're going to talk to our hosts.
We got a shirt guy.
Sweet.
That'll be cool.
But yeah, are we going to, is that it, or are we going to continue?
Let's do our, for PSX?
No, just for the podcast. How
are we doing on time?
We have about an hour. We're in an hour.
I say we do the game.
Yeah, let's do it.
I've been excited. I don't think it'll take too long either.
You explained this a little bit to us at the beginning, but for viewers at home, what are we doing?
So basically this game is kill it or save it. And the idea is I've got 10 games that are kind of mired in the sevens on Metacritic. So they have the potential to be great, or they're just stinkers and they should never be heard of again. So what I'm going to do is I know what the games are. Jake and Nick do not. So I'm going to read the games in order, and they can choose to either save it, meaning like, oh, I want this game to go on and be franchise forever and be successful, or kill it. Like, I never want to see another game from the series again. The developer should close down. No, I don't know.
So we each get one. We each get to save one game and kill one game.
And
we have to do it. Is that it?
Yeah.
And if we don't do anything, it automatically goes away. Right?
Yeah.
It just, I thought it just kind of, it's just mediocre.
It's just whatever. It's just kinda, whatever happens, happens.
Okay. Yeah.
And the thing is, unaffected. Once somebody picks one, nobody can pick it. It's done.
So let's say, you know, Persona. You say Persona. And sure. I say kill.
Yeah.
I say really quick.
Yes.
Before Nick can say save, then it's killed. That's it?
That's it.
All right.
And so here's the thing. So for Nick and Jake, they don't know how the list goes. So once I read a name and I pass it, they cannot pick it again. It's just that's it.
And then do we have to vote kill and save once? Like, do we have to use both of them?
I mean, it would be a waste if you don't.
Well, so like, let's say we get, you know, we said save on the second one, and then we get to the 10th and we haven't said kill. We have to kill that one?
Sure. Yeah. That's the risk. That's the risk reward of this game.
All right, cool.
And let's so,
very heavily borrowed from Easy Allies.
Yeah, this is a game that
thanks Easy Allies.
But yeah, shout out to them. It was a fun game, and I thought we could play it. So, number one is Dying Light.
I will let that go unaffected.
Me too. I don't. Just,
I have no strong feelings. I think it would be cool to have a sequel, but I would not. In 5 years, I would not say, hey, where's that sequel if there is none?
Mm-hmm. You're not really dying.
I'm not going to care.
One way or another. Okay.
No, I'm not dying.
There's no light at the end of that tunnel when I'm dying.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Nothing happens to Dying Light. It just
stays where it is.
Okay. Number two, I Am Setsuna.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't played it, so.
Oh, not even Nick beat it.
Yeah.
You don't have an affinity one way or another?
No, just if. I mean, it was fun. It was nice throwback. It'd be cool to see that series
so grow. Saving it? Okay,
I'm not saving it, but I don't really mind if it disappears.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're getting down here. All right. Third, The Evil Within.
That might kill itself, Nick, unless you save it.
No.
I'm going to save it then. I'm saving it.
All right.
I really like The Evil Within. That was like, for a while, that was my game of the year. I really, really liked it.
Until
I played Dragon Age Inquisition that year. But yeah, Evil Within was so good. It was really atmospheric.
That was 2014, right?
2014, yeah. Super atmospheric.
Don't play it on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah, it's brutal.
No, it just, the game breaks.
Oh,
that's
does
what happened. You remember seeing me stream that?
Oh, yeah. It was just like impossible.
It was.
Yeah.
I was beating it, but it was just like the game mechanics don't work that way. So like cheap deaths happen all the time.
Oh, that's lame.
So it's like, I died from that? Really? And it's like, it felt like a rushed game after that.
Almost like it was just, it wasn't even fair.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even fun.
It was like, I'm running, shooting. Oh, he hit me on the foot and I'm dead. Okay, that's cool.
Lame.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing about that game, or one of my favorite aspects, is you would go through and you would fight bosses or you would do certain encounters, and that was the only time in the whole game you'd ever see that. Like, it's not like you see it once and then it comes back later like most games do. It's just like, see it once and that's it. And it was always something new. That's what I liked.
That's cool.
And like I said, heavily atmospheric. The story was like, I don't even know what happens in that game, but like I enjoyed playing it.
It was crazy.
Okay. Yeah. So cool. Anyway,
Number five.
Titan Souls.
Oh, you're killing me with that.
This was a Jake bait right here.
Oh, God. You're the worst, Taylor. This was such a nice one.
Didn't play it, so I have no opinion.
Uh-huh. So this one, do you know what it is, Nick?
Kill it.
It's the one.
Oh, Nick's going to kill it. Really?
Did you just killed it? You actually used your vote?
No, I didn't use
it. Oh. Okay.
Oh, my goodness, Nick.
Jake's eyes just like gave me the biggest glare.
Oh. No, because this game, this is the one where you have these Dark Souls-like bosses, but it's all from an isometric view. Mm. And you have a bow and a arrow. Or an arrow, just one. So you shoot the arrow, and then you can Jedi force pull the arrow back to you.
Oh, nice.
And both ways, it does damage.
Cool.
But that's it. So it takes one shot to kill the boss, and it takes one shot for you to die. Everything is all about this, like, this...
precision.
You know, yeah, precision. And, like, it's so good. I'm going to have to wait and hope that there's just a sequel. And if there isn't, there's plenty more games, and it was great as it is. I don't think it needs a sequel. It exists pretty well right now.
Okay. All right. Next.
God, you're the worst, Taylor.
We have Beyond Two Souls. Kill it. Ooh, okay.
You're going to kill it? Why?
Because that game sucks.
Okay.
Really?
It's the black sheep.
Of that
Quantic Dream.
Of Quantic Dream, yeah.
Because I still haven't tackled Quantic Dream, but they're already like one of my favorite developers just because everything looks so good and I'm excited to play, even though I haven't gotten into it.
I've heard that's one of their worst games.
Seriously? But it looked so good.
It's told out of order, and like the story is really not interesting from everything I've heard. It's like a really far step down from Heavy Rain.
But that's with Ellen Page and Willem
Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's why the new one looks, Detroit looks really good, because it actually looks like you have interaction with this.
Yeah, Detroit looks pretty neat.
Do it. So, okay, wow. So that's killed. Great.
All right.
More of that, I guess.
All right, here we go next. Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor.
Kill it.
Really?
I'm killing it.
Really?
I'm
why?
Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired
of it. It was one game.
I'm tired of, honestly, just kind of Lord of the Rings games. I'm just like,
and for
I'm
some
just
reason,
tired of them.
It popped back up during the PlayStation Pro.
Yeah, and I
conference.
Just don't.
It's like, why
I
are
don't,
you here?
Yeah. Here's Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. And I'm like, no, no, please, no.
Did you play it?
Yeah. I played it.
Yeah, I watched him play it. And he was into it, too.
I was into it for like a little bit, and then it's just like, and it's just that is so all the problems you say you have with Ubisoft, right? I don't usually share your opinions on those. I think they're mostly decent, but like I think that and Mad Max are both ones that just embodied that issue of you know your whole thing where they Ubisoft it. Like I can't stand them.
They're not made by Ubisoft, but
they're just frustrating. I don't know what it is.
It's just generic open world. You drive around, there's nothing to do,
yes,
you find towers.
Exactly, and that's it. That's all you do in Shadow of Mordor 2. It's just themed differently.
But
it's
like, everybody thought the Nemesis system was like this amazing thing.
But it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. All you could do, you could like just have a guy and then root for him, and it would give you a quest on how to help him, and then he would definitely win, and it's like...
I think that system was cooler on paper than it was like
it was.
In gameplay. Like I think people really overhyped
and
what that
be
game
honest,
is.
The Nemesis system or something like it, maybe what it evolves into, I would love to see that again.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really stoked to see it again if it's like evolved because it had a great framework, but like
sure.
It was just it didn't develop into anything creative like I thought it could be.
Sure.
Anyway, there you go.
So
killed it.
To recap, I saved Evil Within, you killed Beyond Two Souls, you killed Shadow of Mordor. Mm-hmm. I have a kill and you guys have not saved anything yet.
Right. How many are left?
There are four games left.
All right, so we got to use them.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. Next, Lords of the Fallen.
Ooh. Oh, I'm
all these games I just don't
care. You know what? I'm going to kill it
because
it's a very obvious Dark Souls rip-off. It's inspired by Dark Souls, but it's just not as good from what everything I've heard.
I was considering saving that one.
So,
all right, fine, it's dead. I still want to play. Like I've played through the beginning of it, and it's just a ton of fun. It's like a slower Dark Souls. It's good.
Did you kill? Okay, I regret maybe using this kill, but whatever.
All right.
So the next one is what I kind of wanted to use it on, but it's too late now. I already
did.
What's
up?
Battleborn.
Oh yeah, man! I wish I could kill this one.
Too late.
Nick, do you wish you could kill it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I wish I could kill Borderlands, too.
Borderlands isn't on here.
Borderlands, really? Wow. Okay.
All right, well, there's only two games left.
We got to save them.
So one of you guys are going to have to save each of these next games.
I guess.
Okay, next. Octodad.
I'll save it, sure. I think it's hilarious. I mean, I do. I would definitely like to use it on this because the first one, or sorry, I actually didn't play the first one, but I heard it was really short. Then they came out with Octodad Dadliest Catch.
That, I think that is the full name of the game.
No, that's the second one.
I don't think so.
Or maybe it's the PlayStation port, because there was Octodad, and then there was Octodad Dadliest Catch.
Okay, I think that maybe is just the name of the version or something.
At any rate, it was also exceptionally short, and it was kind of like I'd like to see them do more with it. I'd like to see them, you know, like it would just be funny. Can you imagine adding, you know, like stupid like battle systems to it, or adding something where like adding races? You could have like
could
have versus modes where it's like two people. You know, each person controlling one foot.
Try to shoot this ball into the hoop.
Yeah, but it's like a 2-on-2. So it's almost like a potato sack race. So each person needs to be controlling the foot of their guy, and they have to try and get their guy to the finish before the other one. Like, there could be some really funny stuff if they expand on that.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm happy to save it.
Okay, last one. This is Nick's save for better or worse. Mad Max.
Nick, you love Mad Max. You love it so much you saved it. You love this game, Nick.
All these games are just blah.
Exactly. That's why they're sevens.
I don't care for anyone.
Not even Evil Within?
Evil Within, I thought there was going to be like better. Like I was going to save Evil Within, but I thought there was going to be like, you know, more sevens that are actually worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But all these are just like super, just like... bargain bin games.
Yep, exactly. That was the kind of the point of the exercise. So to recap, I saved Evil Within and killed Lords of the Fallen. Nick saved Mad Max for better or worse.
There we go.
And killed Beyond Two Souls. Jake saved Octodad and killed Shadow of Mordor.
What a weird game.
All right. Well, that was kind of an interesting game. Maybe next time we'll do it with like nines or something to make it like
more intense.
Or like fives and fours or something crazy.
No, you know what it should be? You should get a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6, 7, 8, 9, and a 10.
Ooh, there you go.
So there's going to be a 10 in there. And then he reads one off and we're like, wait, is this the 10? Crap. What if I'm saving one and it's not the 10?
All right. Okay. Yeah. We have to change the rules a little bit, but we'll get that out of the podcast.
All right.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's going to be the end of this week's podcast.
It was a fun episode.
It was really fun. Was thanks good, for listening, guys. I enjoyed this. I enjoy hyping up PSX because I'm hoping it's as good as we think it is.
It's going to be wonderful, Nick. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be right next to Disneyland. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good weekend.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so be sure to follow us on Twitter at LHG Channel, on Facebook at The Last Honest Gamers, and on YouTube at Last Honest Gamers. And we're also on iTunes. You could find both the LSG Cast and Giant Sword Podcast all on iTunes.
But let's be real. If you found this one, you'll find the others.
Exactly.
And if you have questions, where can you email us at?
At talklhgcast at gmail.com.
There you go.
Perfect.
But yeah, no, this has been a ton of fun. If you guys had anything you wanted to add to the conversation, questions to ask us, corrections if we were stupid, just place a comment, send us a message, do whatever, just contact us. We're everywhere. So, well, at least we're everywhere on our sites. Not like the Illuminati or anything. That's kind of weird.
We're everywhere.
Well, time to end this podcast. So, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.